evening tonight by singing together the hymn number 308 in your hymn book. The hymn number 308. It's a well-known hymn of testimony, O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Saviour and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. The hymn number 308 in the page 301 will stand as we sing. Stand as we sing. Well, we just look to the Lord in a word of prayer, please. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we draw near, O God, to thee tonight in the attitude of prayer. We come, O God, in no merit of our own, but Father, we approach thee upon redemption ground. We come in and through the name of thy dear Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Heavenly Father, we thank thee even for the words of this hymn of which we've been singing. We thank thee, O God, for each and every one in our gathering tonight who can look back to that time and their own experience, that happy day when they came as a sinner unto Christ and found in him peace and pardon and life evermore. And Father, we thank thee, Father, for that once for all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. We thank thee, Father, that he paid the price of our redemption in full, that he offered himself a once-for-all sacrifice for sin. And Father, we thank thee for the power of his precious blood, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin. And O God, our Father, as we come before thee tonight in our Saviour's name, we return thee thanks, O God, for all of thy goodness and mercies and blessings to us throughout this day already. We thank thee, Father, for every good and every perfect gift. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for all the temporal mercies of life that thou dost give to us and enabling us, Lord, to gather here tonight in this place where prayer is wont to be made. And Father in heaven, as we gather here before thee tonight, our prayer is, O God, that thou would bless our coming together. We think of that promise of our Savior when he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And Father, we just pray from this opening hymn to the last amen that we might know a very gracious sense of thy presence, O God. Do draw near, O God, tonight we pray. Father, pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us and grant us a blessed time tonight around thy word. And as we consider thy work, O God, and hear of thy work, even in the land of Mexico, we thank thee for all who have been able to come tonight. We thank thee for every head bowed before thee. And Lord, as our faces would differ, so do our needs. We pray that thou wilt come, Lord, by thy Spirit and grace, and meet us each one at the very point of our needs. Strengthen each and every believer in Christ. Draw each one closer, O God, to thee, we pray. And help us, Lord, in these days in which we live, to be strong in the Lord and in the power, O God, of thy might, O God, we pray. Heavenly Father, we think of those unable to join with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. O Lord, bless them and minister to their needs, O God, we pray. And Father, we pray for those also who may listen in online this evening, whoever they are, Lord, wherever they are to be found. We pray that thou wilt richly bless them also. And Lord, minister to their needs by thy Spirit and by thy power and by thy grace, we pray. Again, Lord, we thank you for the children's meeting tonight in Tresna, and all the boys and girls who heard thy word, O God. And do bless thy word to these young lives, we pray. And Father, early in life, may they seek the Lord and call upon the Lord for salvation. Bless the homes, O God, from which they come from. And Father, we pray that thou would reach into their homes, into their families, O God, and that thou would unite their families in the Lord. Remember the other children's meetings as they would continue throughout this week. Bless our sister Gillian in the ministry of thy word and all who help night by night. And Father, we pray that even this week, Lord, thou wilt so speak, we pray, and that thou wilt save boys and girls, we pray, for the glory of thy name. Again, Lord, we return thee thanks for thy presence with us last Lord's Day and all who heard thy word, O God, and especially those that were in unsaved, speak on to their hearts by the still small voice of God. And Father, we pray that thou wilt draw them to thyself, we pray. Bless our land, O God, tonight. Remember other prayer meetings such as this, O God. We pray, Lord, for gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time, wherever thy word is faithfully preached and proclaimed. We pray that the blessing of God will be upon it. We thank thee for thy servant tonight who has come amongst us. We thank thee for him and his wife and family, and thy hand of blessing upon them in their labors in the land of Mexico. And Lord, we pray that thou would bless our brother tonight. Fill him with thy Holy Spirit,
We know that double portion of thy Spirit as he brings thy word, as he brings the report of thy work and tells of thy doings, O God, in that land. We pray, Lord, that our hearts and souls would be greatly encouraged in the Lord. Bless that work in his absence and all those who labor with him there in that land, we pray. And Father, we pray that thou would just be pleased to pour out thy Spirit there in a mighty way and draw many savingly and believingly unto thyself. Abide with us now, we pray. And do, Lord, touch our hearts and bless our souls. And Lord, minister to our hearts tonight as thou would see our need. And Lord, may we leave this meeting house tonight knowing of a truth, Lord, that it was good to be here, for here we met with thee, our God and our Savior. Here in heaven, thy dwelling place, and answer prayer. For we ask all these things in our Savior's worthy and precious name. Amen. We're going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 142. The hymn number 142, another great missionary hymn. It says, Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. The hymn number 142 will stand as we sing. Stand as we sing. welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see all who have gathered with us this evening. We bid you a warm word of welcome. Pray the Lord will bless you and that you'll know the Lord's speaking voice and be drawn closer to the Lord, our Saviour, tonight. We welcome also those who may be joining us online as well. Thank you for joining with us, and we pray the Lord will bless you also tonight afresh through his word. Do remember, please, the services here over the weekend, Friday night, 6:30, the children's meeting, youth fellowship, travelling down to Castledurg, meeting here at 7:15. Encourage all the young folk to go along. And remember again, ladies, the church is open on Friday night and Saturday for the harvest decorations, for the harvest Thanksgiving. And then remember the services on the Lord's Day, harvest Thanksgiving weekend, Sabbath school and Bible class, 11 a.m., morning worship service at 12 noon. And the guest preacher, our brother Reverend Gareth Wilson from Belfast, Sandown Road congregation. And then on the evening at 7 p.m., the guest preacher, the Reverend Jeffrey Abraham from Mulvin, Mrs. Amanda Reed will be along to sing. And then, of course, remember the Monday night meeting as well at 8 p.m. And the guest preacher there is her brother, the Reverend Ryan McKee, and he and his wife will be singing. And then there'll be harvest supper for all on the Monday night. Be much in prayer for these meetings. We do encourage you to do all you can to make them known. There's wee invites there for them and also for the mission coming up as well. Encourage you to take those, give them out to family members and friends and neighbours, and make the meetings known and invite others along at this time. Now, we give a very special welcome tonight to our good brother in Christ, the Reverend Jason Boyle, and also son Caleb, who is with us here tonight. We welcome them in the Saviour's name. Our brother informs me it's almost 14 years since he was last here, so there's been a few changes since then, and the water under the bridge, so to speak. But we welcome him. He's in the province at this time from the beginning, really, of September through to mid-November or so, going around our churches, telling of the Lord's work that he's involved in Mexico, and he's come tonight to present that work. So he's going to bring God's word and then do the video presentation, but pray the Lord will bless our brother. Can I remind you also of the offering tonight? It goes in its entirety to the work. And then there's also prayer cards for the Boyle family. They're out there on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take those, and I encourage you just to remember them daily in prayer at the throne of grace. We'll hand over now to the Lord's servant. Thank you.
Well, it's good to be with you this evening. It has been a long time since we were here. My wife and I came to Northern Ireland in 2010, January, February 2010, before we went out to Mexico. And we were here in Enniskillen, and that was a long time ago. But we're glad to be back, because when we were here last time, we just gave a presentation on Mexico and Mexico City and what we were planning on doing. And now we have the opportunity to come back and to tell what the Lord has done. So the first thing we're going to do is to show that video presentation so you can see what the Lord's been doing over these years. And afterwards, I'll come back to give a little update, some prayer requests, and to share from the Word of God. I'm not sure if everyone over there will be able to see. Will you be all right from over there? Perfect. If we can get the lights, and then we'll start the video presentation.
Jason and Danielle Boyle arrived in Mexico in July of 2010. Before starting their ministry, they studied Spanish at the local university. During this stage, the Lord in his providence brought some people together, and they were able to hold their first church service on January 1st, 2012, in their home. They started with 13 people and met in their home for 9 months. During that time, the Lord began to bless the church in an amazing way. People started coming. Some were saved, while others were thankful to have found a church with sound doctrine. In the first year, the Lord gave them a foundation to build on, a core group of people that were saved, that the Lord was sanctifying, and that was committed to the work of the church. After 9 months, they moved their meeting place to a rented garage with two additional rooms that were made into a kitchen and a children's room. They stayed in this location for almost 9 years. During those beginning years, they focused on teaching the people. almost all of whom were new Christians or Christians coming from churches with false doctrine. They focused on studying doctrine, worship, and church government. The Lord blessed and continued to teach the people, as well as bring in family members and others to be saved, baptized, and form part of the church. Around the time when the church moved its meeting place, they began Sunday school for adults and children. The Children's Sunday School is a 5-year program which has graduated 2 groups of children who are now young adults and adults in the church. Currently, they have a Sunday school for ages 2 through 10 with about 10 children, which they hope to split into 2 classes when there is space to allow for it. The church ran a vacation Bible school for 7 years, which was a great opportunity to connect with the community and establish a local presence in the neighborhood. The majority of the children in attendance throughout the years of VBS were from unbelieving families in the neighborhood, and some years there were up to 60 children. Over the years, the Lord continued to bless, and with its ups and downs, the church grew slowly and steadily. In February of 2017, just after the church's 5-year anniversary, the church was constituted and Jason was ordained as the pastor. It was a time of much blessing and reflection on how the Lord had worked in the church and brought it to the point of constitution. It was a joyful and emotional service for all. The church welcomed 23 founding members that day and enjoyed the presence of representatives of the North American Presbytery. Since that time, the church has elected 5 deacons who are a tremendous blessing to their pastor and church. Even though in the years following the church went through some times of tribulation and difficulty, the Lord has sustained His work in His grace. Throughout the years, more than 25 people have been baptized, and members continue to be added to the church. The Lord has been very good, and the church currently has a regular attendance of 80 to 85 people. In July 2021, the church moved to a new location that continues to require much work to make it usable, but does provide the church with more space. In January 2022, the church celebrated its 10-year anniversary. A common theme recently among the new congregants who have come from previous churches is that of spiritual abuse at the hands of false teachers. Many people have had to unlearn some bizarre teachings and start from scratch, constructing their lives upon the solid Word of God. The Lord has graciously allowed many people to pass through the church's doors and make themselves a part of their church community. Each has their own story, which is precious to our Savior.
Mariana is a young lady of 17 who was far from the Lord in her early teenage years. She attended with her family, but was very rebellious and resistant to the Lord and His Word. During the pandemic, when she was 15, the Lord saved her after hearing the preaching of the Word one Sunday. From that point on, there was a remarkable change in her attitude and her desire to be in God's house and God's Word. She travels 2 hours each way in public transportation with her mom and brother every Sunday to attend church. When the Lord saved her, she began praying in the prayer meetings, and everybody was thrilled by the change in her life. Last year, in one of her public school classes, the teacher was assigning topics for a debate and asked the class if anyone was against homosexuality. Only Mariana raised her hand. So the teacher told her that she would take the side of the debate against homosexuality, and that she, the teacher, would take the opposing side. Mariana began preparing for the debate and asked the church for prayers, and she was very nervous. The church prayed for God's grace, and the young people of the church set up a mock debate to help her prepare. The Lord gave much grace during the debate and answered prayer as well in giving Mariana opportunity to share the gospel. After the debate, the teacher asked if she would stay on after the class and then expressed to her that she had never heard anyone defend their position so clearly and asked her questions about the gospel. God gave Mariana grace to share the gospel with her teacher in that moment, as well as with another classmate who sought her out after the debate. We're so thankful for the Lord's work in her life and pray that she will continue to grow in Him. She helps in the children's Sunday school and hopes to be a Sunday school teacher one day. Angel is an 11-year-old boy that has been in the church since he was 3. His mother, who is a single mom, attended off and on in the early years of the church. Angel would throw a temper tantrum any time his mom tried to bring him to Children's Sunday School, since he associated with his regular public school. After many months of this, Daniel was able to bring him into the Sunday school room and hold him while he cried, and eventually, for the first time, he began listening and participating. After the class, he very sweetly thanked Daniel for helping him to be in the class. Ever since that day, he has been a most attentive Sunday school student. However, there were still reports from his mom that he was very difficult at home and at school. During the pandemic, when he was 9 years old, Daniel encouraged him and the other children to continue on with their Bible readings and memorizing the children's catechism. Daniel got extra copies of the 8-book series that is used in the Sunday school program so that she could lend each child a book, and when they would finish, they would trade it in for the next one. Angel excelled in this area, and as a byproduct, his mom has learned much basic Bible knowledge as well. She gave testimony that during the pandemic, something changed in Angel. It was a heart change that filtered down to all areas of his home life and school life. God, in his grace, reached down and used the truths and doctrines from the Bible reading and catechism to change this boy's heart. He even surprised Daniel over a Zoom call by memorizing the last chunk of the catechism questions way before schedule. Each family in the church has their own story, and we are thankful for the Lord's work in each one. Pray that the Lord will continue to bring his people into the church, and that they would receive the teaching and love that they need to grow in him for his glory.
The Lord has given many opportunities for ministry within the church over the years. Besides Sunday school and VBS, for years the church has had men's and women's meetings. Even pre-pandemic, many would participate by listening to an audio recording of the meetings because the largeness of the city and the traffic made it impossible for them to come out to a meeting during the week. For 8 years, the church hosted a women's conference where women from sister churches in other states and other local churches would attend. For many years, the church had youth meetings as well. And in the Lord's grace, many young people continue to grow in the Lord and are committed to the local church. There is a great burden in the church for them, that the Lord would protect them and raise them up as leaders of the next generation for His name. There was an annual youth camp for 3 years that began in 2017 for the youth of the church and those of the sister churches in Mexico. As in any country, the young people are being attacked and influenced by the world. Pray that they will grow in their faith and that they would form friendships and relationships with other Christians their age. There are 5 deacons in the church who have been a great help in the last few years. They have taken on many responsibilities and have enjoyed their service to the local church. There is also a group of men that have met together as part of an elder training program. This is one of the local church's biggest needs, that the Lord would raise up men to come alongside Jason and serve as elders in the church. Some men who make up that group are coming along well, and we pray that in the near future the church would have the blessing of electing elders. One of those men who has studied for many years with Jason is Ruben, who is a 25-year-old deacon that has been in the church since almost the very beginning. The Lord saved him and has called him to the ministry. He has been studying for a few years and in 2021 began taking seminary courses. He is also translating some of the Geneva Reformed Seminary courses into Spanish and is doing some preaching in the church. Pray that the Lord would protect him and help him to grow spiritually so that one day he can go out and be used in the pastoral ministry. Pablo is another man who is called to the ministry and began his seminary work in GRS in the fall of 2022. He has a heart for the people and a desire to serve the Lord in the Free Presbyterian Church. Please pray for his preparations and as he begins to preach in the church. One of the things that the Lord has done over these 10 years in the church is something completely unexpected. He has opened the door for ministry, not just in the local church, but also with men and churches who have joined and want to be part of the Free Presbyterian denomination. Throughout these years, pastors and men have contacted Jason, wanting to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church. Over time, relationships have been established, both formal and informal. These relationships start out with visits to their churches to get to know them, and if there is continued interest, there are subsequent trips to encourage and teach on the FBC distinctives. Many contacts have been made and developed, and even today there continues to be new interest where contact and teaching is in the beginning stages. Lalo Peña is pastor of a church in Cordova, Veracruz, which is about 4.5 hours east of Mexico City. Jason met him through contact with another pastor in 2014 and has enjoyed fellowship with him since that time. In that same year, he came under care of the North American Presbytery and over the years took Geneva Reformed Seminary courses, which Jason proctors. He has been licensed by the Presbytery and is preparing for ordination and the future constitution of his church. Lalo was pastor in a large charismatic church, but came out of that movement when he learned the doctrines of grace and began a small Reformed church about 7 years ago. Pray for Lalo and his family and church that the Lord will bless with growth and allow many years serving him in Mexico. Ramon Sosa is pastor in the Dominican Republic, who contacted Jason in 2016 with an interest in joining our denomination. He came under care of the presbytery that year and has recently finished his courses from Geneva Reformed Seminary and been licensed, and is preparing his church for constitution within our denomination and for his ordination, Lord willing. He is a 4 hour or so plane ride away, but Jason has been able to visit him 6 times. Praise the Lord for what he's doing even in other Latin American countries. Jair Aguilar is a young man that Jason met 8 years ago at a conference, and the friendship continued over the years, especially when he started a church 5 years ago in the state of Puebla. Jason has preached for them and taught on the doctrines of grace, Presbyterian church government, and free Presbyterian distinctives. They have come under the supervision of the Mexico City Church as a mission church, and Jair has begun his seminary training, with Jason proctoring his courses. The Mexico City Church has a special link with this church in Tehuacan, as Melisette, a young lady from Mexico City who attended the church from the very first Sunday, was baptized in the church, became a beloved Sunday school teacher for the children, and was a founding member, married Jair in 2019. She is an English teacher and is currently helping by translating GRS seminary courses. Another man who has joined with Jason and the Mexico City work is Wenceslao, whom Jason met in the same conference years ago where he met Jair. He lives and ministers in Jalpan de Serra, Querétaro, and is teaching his church the doctrines of grace and Presbyterian church government. He is continuing his seminary training, with Jason proctoring his courses. Wenceslao's brother-in-law, Pepe, lives in Axla, San Luis Potosí, and is also striving to teach his church sound doctrine and what the denomination believes. Pepe is continuing his seminary training, with Jason proctoring his courses. Together with these 5 men, Jason's desire is that the Lord would raise up a Mexican Free Presbyterian denomination with the desire to reach out to other Latin American countries as well. The pastors have begun meeting twice a year for a week of prayer and to plan, and are seeking the Lord's guidance for wisdom and how to move forward. Another opportunity that opened up a couple of years ago is in Soconzotla, Puebla. Miguel is an indigenous preacher who is interested in learning sound doctrine and is looking for the Lord's leading. Juan, a pastor of a charismatic church in a village just 15 minutes away from Soconzotla, has also recently expressed an interest in learning Reformed doctrine and being taught. The native language in these villages is Totonaco, and so, although these men do speak Spanish, their education is more difficult. Sarai, a single lady from the Mexico City Church, moved to Soconzotla in 2021 and has begun to minister to the women and children there. A visit in March 2021 provided them with encouragement and teaching materials, and in the summer of 2022, the Mexico City Church sent an evangelistic team during a medical campaign. pray for wisdom in regards to how the Lord would work in Soconsotla. These many opportunities are one of the most exciting things happening in the ministry in Mexico. The Boyles are focused on the local church and what the Lord is doing there, but He has also opened up these doors of opportunity in Mexico and Latin America for fellowship and for working together with sister churches. It has been a great blessing, especially in the area of fellowship, since the Mexico City Church is the first Free Presbyterian Church in Mexico and in all of Latin America. The work is separated from its sister churches in North America, Ulster, and Nepal by distance, culture, and language, but the Lord has brought fellowship with these more local brethren and their churches, which has been a great encouragement. The Mexico City Church serves as a hub of fellowship and teaching for these other churches. These opportunities in fellowship with these sister churches, along with the opportunities for church plants, show the great need for laborers. The Boyles are praising the Lord that there are a few men studying the seminary courses that Jason proctors, as well as a few more that have shown interest. In 2021, Jason began to teach seminary-type courses in Spanish, starting with a homiletics class, with 16 men from all over the country, and, Lord willing, will be continuing with biblical theology and other courses afterwards. Long-term, there is a need for a seminary. That is beyond the scope of possibility currently, as there is simply not enough time and resources to develop it. Geneva Reformed Seminary courses are being translated for the men, and also some courses are being adapted as necessary according to the materials that are available in Spanish. Laborers and materials are needed to start a seminary in the future. This is the vision for the future of the work in Mexico. Pray for the Lord to raise up men to plant churches, both in the city and in other parts of Mexico, and that He will guide in the formation of a Mexican presbytery, a Mexican Free Presbyterian Church, so that His name is glorified. The Lord is doing a work in Mexico and in all of Latin America. People are hungry for sound doctrine, hungry for stable and solid biblical churches. Pray that the Lord would use the work in Mexico City to meet those needs. Pray that the Lord would first of all raise up men in the local church in Mexico City, that He would raise up elders for the work. But then also pray that the Lord would send men out to plant churches, that the formation of a Mexican presbytery would go smoothly with these men who have joined with the work and with others who have been in contact and are interested. The door is wide open, and the need is great. The church began by meeting in the Boyles' home. Then, after the first 9 months, they moved to the location where they met for the next 9 years. Thankfully, a year ago, they moved to a slightly bigger place that will accommodate their growing congregation. But they are still in need of a permanent place to meet, a place that will work for them long-term as they grow and minister in Mexico City. Their current location has a roof that creates a greenhouse effect, and even with 8 or 9 fans going every Sunday, the heat causes a serious problem. The rainy season has also shown where the water leaks are more prominent. There has been water damage to some furniture, even though they cover all of the kitchen in large tarps at the end of every Sunday. Measures are taken to provide an extra layer of protection from the elements for the piano, sound equipment, and kitchen during the week. During the last part of 2019, the Boyles began to look in earnest for a place to buy. The idea of owning a property in Mexico City always seemed beyond their resources, but in faith they decided to see what was available. They believe the Lord has led them to this property, which is located just about 1/3 mile from where they used to meet and about 1 mile from where they are currently meeting. And that's very important, because this is the area of the city where the Lord has called the church to be, and it's important to continue with a presence that has been established in the community. This property is not on the main street, which is helpful because of the noise level and because sometimes the main streets get shut down for parades, causing problems on Sundays. but it is only a 3-minute walk away from the main street, which is perfect for people coming on public transport and still in a very visible place in the community. The property consists of two parts. Half of the land is empty and not built up at all, and the other half has two houses, one that could be used for a man's, and the other a space for offices, midweek meeting rooms, and Sunday school rooms, while they build on the empty lot. After a church building is constructed, the second house would serve to house pastors and their families that come for presbytery meetings and for mission teams. The opportunities this property gives are endless. The desire is to build a church building that can also be used for presbytery meetings, conferences, and a seminary, with a parking lot beside it, something that is much needed in one of the largest cities in the world. This property would not only meet the local congregation's growing needs, but also serve to help other churches, to be a hub and a help to their sister churches, and to be able to meet the needs of a Free Presbyterian denomination in Mexico in the near future. The property is over 2,000 square meters, which is over 20,000 square feet, or about a half an acre. It's hard to find property that size to build on in Mexico City, and especially in the part of the city where the church is located. The Boyles believe the Lord has led them there, and that this is the property He has for them. So please pray that the Lord will provide, not only in regards to their need for a property, but for their local church and all the doors the Lord has opened there. Thank you for praying for them and for being a part of the work in Mexico. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. Psalm 118, verse 23.
I know it was a little bit long. We wanted you to see what the Lord has been doing and to pray for what the Lord will be able to do in the next years. We're very thankful what the Lord has done from that little group of 13 that met in the little living room of our house there. The Lord's given growth to have an attendance on Sundays of about 100 people. Now, it's a great blessing, but it's also really just a drop in the bucket for a place like Mexico City, because we live in one of the biggest cities in the world. The metropolitan area of Mexico City is over 20 million people. Now, you have less than 2 million here in the province. So you can imagine 10 times the population of this entire province in one city that's not very big, and that's what we have in Mexico City. So there's a great need, and there's a great opportunity as well for the Lord to work in all over Mexico and Latin America. The Lord continues to bring in visitors and bring in people to the church to hear His word. Please specifically pray for the men in our church, those two men who are preparing for the ministry. It's something obviously very important for any local church, any group of churches. We're excited not to just have a church that is has people coming in and learning, but also these young men who have been called to the ministry, who are training in seminary, and pray as the Lord will lead them to go out and plant a church either in Mexico City or in another part of Mexico. We do have three men who are candidates to be ruling elders, and Lord willing, we'll have an election for ruling elders at the beginning of this coming year. It's a big step forward for our local church. You can understand that's something very important for any local church, to have elders. You understand that. But especially on the mission field, because we're dealing with pretty much everybody in our church, except for maybe one family, who are first-generation Christians. We don't have people who had parents who are Christians and grandparents who are Christians, or hundreds of years of Christian culture in their land. We're dealing with people who are coming out of Roman Catholicism, or coming out of atheism, coming out of the charismatic churches, and it takes a long time to teach the people, to unteach them some of those things, and then to teach them sound doctrine and Presbyterian church government, all those important things that we need for a strong local church. And so the fact that we do have these three men who are candidates to be ruling elders is a great encouragement for us. So if you pray for that election, Lord willing, coming up at the beginning of this next year. It's also a blessing for us to have these sister churches that we've been working with, these other men who are coming alongside. If anybody would remember when we were here in 2010, In our presentation, we did not say anything about the possibility of starting a Mexican presbytery because it didn't even cross our minds. It was not even something that we had thought about when we went out to Mexico, but the Lord has opened doors so clearly and has brought these men alongside with us, and not just to be with us, they're firmly committed Free Presbyterians. And the first two men, Lalo and Ramon, it was mentioned that they had been licensed, and since that video was made, they were both ordained and their church is constituted by a North American presbytery. That's a big step forward for Latin America. And the other three churches are mission churches right now. The men are preparing themselves. They're teaching their churches. They're coming along well. It's a question of patience and time. But the Lord is doing a great work, and we're happy to have that fellowship together. And we really do believe the Lord will have a Mexican presbytery in the future. It's important because it's a different language, a different culture. It's a different country. It's separated from the other churches in North America. And it's important to be able to take that step forward in the future when it's the Lord's time. And not just in Mexico, there are really open doors in other parts of Latin America as well. We've had contacts from people in the countries of Colombia, Argentina, and just recently Guatemala. And these are people who are interested, some of them, in learning sound doctrine. They're coming out of false churches, and they want people to go and teach them. Some of these men are looking for a Free Presbyterian church in their country, in their city. At the moment, we don't have either the men or the resources to do that. But if the Lord's opening doors, if the Lord's giving these real contacts and real interest, well, then he'll provide as well the men and the resources that we need for that. But please pray, because, as I said, the door is wide open in Latin America. The things that the Lord did maybe here in Europe and over in the States and Canada years ago and centuries ago, it seems like the Lord is doing now in Latin America. The Reformation, for instance, really just came to Mexico. Like, it did not come in the 1500s, the 1600s. The Roman Catholic Church came in that time. The Reformation has come to Mexico in the last 30, 40 years. And so it's exciting to see what the Lord is doing and how people are learning and coming out of false churches and false doctrine to embrace what the Word of God says. So if you'll pray for those things, pray for that property that we need desperately as a local church, and also in the future for the good of our other churches. We send out a prayer update every couple of months. If you'd like to be on that, you can come up to me afterwards. I'm happy to put you on there so you can be updated with our prayer requests. And also for the praises, you've seen these prayer requests. We ask you to pray for these things, and we trust the Lord will answer. And so it'd be good to be updated on those things if you would like when we go back home. But we appreciate your prayers for us. We appreciate your participation in the work in Mexico. And you really can participate. Sometimes it may not seem like it. You say, well, I'm out here in County Fermana, is that right? Out here in Enniskillen, that's really far away from Mexico. Like, what can I do? How can I really participate in what the Lord is doing in Latin America in Mexico City? I want to encourage us with that in the few minutes we have left before the time of prayer. If we turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 13, and then also in Acts chapter 14, to think about how we can and how we should be involved, every one of us, in the missionary work of the Lord. Acts chapter 13, and we'll read the first three verses. Acts chapter 13, verses 1-3. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. I want us to see from this passage and also over in Acts chapter 14, two very basic principles about how every Christian can be involved in the missionary work of the Lord. The first principle we see is that some Christians are involved in missionary work in their own local church. Why do I say that? We hear a lot about Paul and Barnabas. We know about their missionary journeys. We know about what the Bible records of how he used them. But we see here in Acts chapter 13 something we don't often think about, which is the local church at Antioch that sent these men out. Barnabas and Saul and Paul were in the local church at Antioch before being sent out, being called by the Holy Spirit, being sent out by their local church on their first missionary journey. And when you see this church was an active church, there were people participating, and not just Paul and Barnabas, We see here in verse 1 of chapter 13 that it lists other men who were prophets and teachers. It talks about Barnabas, but also Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. Maybe there were others as well. This was an active local church. This was a church where people were participating in the ministry of that local church. And verse 2 says, as they ministered. That's Paul and Barnabas, but all the rest as well. As they were active, as they were participating, as they were serving, the Holy Spirit set apart specifically Paul and Barnabas for this work. It shows us the importance of the local church. The importance of a local church in the training, in the teaching of people who might go out and serve the Lord someplace else. The importance of the local church to send out missionaries, in our case the local churches under the supervision of the presbytery, to send out missionaries, and also to support missionaries as they go out. We see that because we turn over to chapter 14, over in verse 21, Acts 14, verse 21, we come to the end of Paul and Barnabas' first missionary journey as they're on their way back. This is when they preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, and they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, verse 26, and then sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles, and there they abode a long time with the disciples. So Paul and Barnabas finished this part of their missionary journey, and what did they do? They went back to their local church. They went back to Antioch. And I think we can see implicitly that this church had been supporting them the whole time because they went back there. They went back to the people that they knew had been praying for them and supporting them. They're obviously comfortable because it says in verse 28 here that they abode long time with the disciples. They didn't just go back for a quick time. They stayed with them. This was their home church. And so this local church at Antioch is a great example for us of how every Christian can be involved in missionary work in their own local church. It's a place to train. It's a place to serve. It's a place to send out missionaries. It's a place to support missionaries. I want to emphasize that because, as I say, a lot of times we can hear missionary reports or think about missionaries in other places, and it's interesting. We like to see what's going on, but we don't feel like we can really be a part. Let me encourage you. You are a part, an essential part, of the work in Mexico City as you pray for us and as you support us. Just as important as we are, just as important as the missionary going out are the people who stay behind and support them, and the people who train and pray for others to go out as well, because in every local church, you never want to lose people, but on the other hand, a healthy local church is praying that the Lord will touch the hearts of the children and the young people, even older folks as well, to not just stay, but to go, to leave behind what is comfortable, what is normal, and go out someplace else, go to another place, go to another culture. We should be hoping for that. We should be praying for that. We should be working for that in all of our local churches. So that training, that participating, that sending out, that supporting, every Christian in this local church, every one of you, can be a part of what the Lord is doing all over the world, including in Mexico, here in your own local church. Every Christian can be, every Christian should be involved in missionary work, and some Christians are involved in their own local church. But obviously the second principle that we can see from this passage, that some Christians are involved as missionaries who go out and serve the Lord someplace else. Again, we turn back to chapter 13. Verse 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. Now, obviously, some of those men in Antioch stayed behind. They stayed in Antioch, at least for some time. But the Holy Spirit called Paul and Barnabas to go out. They were called internally by the Holy Spirit. They were called externally by their local church. They prayed for them. They fasted. They laid hands on them. And they sent them out. These men were called to go out as missionaries. Now, what does a missionary do? We read in verse 5, when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God. Again, in Acts chapter 14, verse 21, says the same thing. When they had preached the gospel to that city. Now, that's very obvious, maybe, very simple. But nowadays, there is a bit of a push for more of a social gospel. Some people think you send missionaries out to other places, other cultures, other continents. For example, to feed the poor and feed the hungry and clothe the poor. And that's good. That's very often involved in missionary work. There's nothing wrong with it. But it is not the main thing. It is not the reason why we send out missionaries. Unbelievers can go out and feed the hungry and clothe the poor. What Christians can do is go out and spread the gospel. So we go out and we preach the gospel. Men, women share the gospel with people who have never heard, with people who need to understand the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's what a missionary does. Paul and Barnabas did that. In chapter 14, verse 22, it says they were confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. They were discipling the believers. They weren't just coming along and preaching and leaving. They were coming alongside. They were discipling. They were spending time with them. Verse 23 says they were ordaining elders in every church. That's why it's so encouraging for us to see that the Lord is doing that in our church in Mexico City, because that's biblical. That's biblical church planting. That's biblical missionary work, to go out and share the gospel. The Lord saves. The Lord adds to the church. And churches are planted. Biblical churches are established with elders in every church. That's what Paul and Barnabas did. That's what missionaries do when they go out. And then, obviously, missionaries come back. Verse 26 of chapter 14, as we read before. They sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he'd opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That's what we're doing on our trip. We're coming home, we're coming back to the local churches. We're not here very often. As I say, we're back in North America a little bit more often. But we're coming back to sister churches and people who have been praying for us or will be praying for us and reporting on what the Lord has done. Exactly what it says here in verse 27. They rehearsed all that God had done with them. The means are different. Paul and Barnabas didn't have video, as we do, but it's the same thing. They gave a report. We're giving a report. And notice it's of the Lord's work, because Paul and Barnabas did not go back and say, look what we've done among the Gentiles. Because remember, that was a miracle, what the Lord was doing among the Gentiles. The gospel was coming to the Gentiles, not just to the Jews. That was going to cause a great conflict in the early church, as we see in Acts chapter 15. But Paul and Barnabas did not come back boasting about what they have done. Look at what great missionaries we are. Give us more money, because look at what is happening among the Gentiles. Look what it says in verse 27. I think it's very specific for a reason. They rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. That's the key. That's what every missionary wants to do. That's what we're trying to do as well. The focus is not on us. We don't want the focus to be on us. We're just instruments. We're just means that the Lord's used like anybody else. The glory goes to God for the work that he has done, is doing, and will do in Mexico, in Latin America, and all around the world. That's what a missionary does. And I do want to say that the Lord is still calling men and women to go out as missionaries. It's necessary because there are so many places all across the world where the gospel has never been preached. We take a place like Mexico City, over 20 million people. Can you imagine how many churches we could use in Mexico City and still not have enough? If we have, 60 churches maybe here in the province, just of our denomination, preaching the gospel for less than 2 million people, we could use literally hundreds of churches in Mexico City. And that's just one city in all the world. There are so many places where the gospel needs to be preached, where men and women need to go to preach the gospel, to disciple believers, to establish elders in every church. In every church that we're going to, I'm giving the same exhortation. Examine yourself. Ask the Lord what he would have you to do. But yes, some of you may stay here, and as I say, you're just as important as we are in the missionary work, supporting, praying for the missionaries. But also, the Lord may call someone to go out. It may have never crossed your mind before, but you're comfortable here, you have a good life here, all the plans for the future. Maybe the Lord will call you to go. The Lord will call someone from this local church. Maybe there are children who are going to grow up in the Sunday school here under the sound of the gospel. The Lord will call them to go out, young people. Let's encourage them in that. Sometimes we want to keep all our children and young people in the local church, and I understand that. I understand that very well as a pastor. Because you want to see the church grow and want them all to stay. But sometimes the Lord calls them out as well And since they're not really ours, they belong to the Lord, we should be thankful and praying the Lord would use them in his service. So I pray the Lord would raise up someone from all of our local churches to go out. Whatever the Lord would have you to do, you can be, you must be involved in some way in the missionary work of the Lord. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for your word, for this example of Paul and Barnabas in the early church. We thank you for the local church at Antioch, that this active, participating local church. And Lord, we pray that in this local church here in Enniskillen, that it would be the same. This would be a church where people are ministering, people are serving in the local church. I pray that it would be a church that is giving you the glory, a church that is a light in this dark place. I pray that you would bless the minister, bless the members and the congregants here. I pray that church would grow for your glory. I pray that you would save men and women, bring in families. And Lord, use this church as a support for missionaries, that young people and children would be taught and be sent out, that the church here would continue to pray for its missionaries and support its missionaries in any way possible. And Lord, we do pray that you would continue to raise up missionaries to go out from this place, from all our denomination, that you would raise up missionaries to go out and preach the gospel in other places. We thank you that the work is yours, that you are sovereign, and you will give success in your time. We pray that you would use us for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We do thank our brother tonight for coming and showing the video presentation and bringing the challenge of God's word. It has been a great blessing and a great encouragement in our hearts to see and to hear what the Lord is doing out there in the land of Mexico. And we thank God for that open door, and we encourage you to take our brother and his wife and family and those others who labor with them in your heart and prayer, and pray for them day by day, that God's hand of blessing will be upon them. And do remember the prayer cards, and even to sign up for the prayer requests from time to time. I'll keep you just up to date with all that is happening out there in Mexico. We're going to have a season of prayer just through to about 20 past nine or so. Encourage as many as possible to pray. But just a few prayer requests I want to just set before you. Do remember the labors of our brother and his wife and those who labor with them there in Mexico. Remember that very especially. Do please pray for the Harvest Thanksgiving weekend coming up, that God will bless those who come to minister. Visitors will come in and souls will be saved. The mission, pray for the outreach, the door-to-door work for that coming up in a week's time. And our brother, the Reverend Morrow. Do please also pray for one of our young people, Miss Rachel Edwards, probably be changing her name, but is getting married on Saturday over in England in Preston. Remember her and Dominic on their wedding day, that God's blessing will be upon them on Saturday. Do remember, please, the sick in your prayers as well. Our sister, Mrs. Sadie Scott, is ill. Do pray for her. And also Rebecca Bennett, Muriel and Keith's daughter, has been ill in hospital. Do remember her in your prayers. And again, I want to thank you for prayer for my wife's sister, Rachel, as you knew, heard last year. She really needs a lung transplant. Last year, her lung function was down to 32%. She was with the specialist again there recently, last week, and for some unknown reason, her lung function is now up to 48%. And this is something really that the medical experts cannot explain humanly. Normally, when it goes down to that, it normally deteriorates further, and we believe this is an answer to prayer. So just pray on that the Lord would touch her and raise her up. She's still on the list for a transplant, but God is able to even increase that lung function more. Remember the children's work as well, and the youth fellowship, and the children's work in your prayers as well. We'll ask our brother Colin to lead us in